The Atlantic Ocean sent its waters along the Scottish and Norwegian shores, and also through the channel that had been formed only a short while before. Human artifacts and bones of land animals were dredged from the bottom of the North Sea, and along the shores of Scotland and England, as well as on the Dogger Bank in the middle of the sea, stumps of trees with their roots still in the ground were found. 45 miles from the coast, from a depth of 36 meters, Norfolk fishermen drew up a spearhead carved from the antler of a deer, embedded in a block of peat. This artifact dates from the Mesolithic or early Neolithic age and serves as one of many proofs that the area covered by the North Sea was a place of human habitation not many thousands of years ago. From the analysis of the pollens found in the peat taken from the bottom of the sea, the conclusion was reached that these forests existed in not too remote dunes. It has also been assumed that the building of large areas of the North Sea in the Surreal period resulted from rather sudden sinking of the land, which some authorities dated about 1500, or a little earlier, at the same time that floods destroyed the lake dwellings of Central Europe. If we consider that Phoenician vessels were already visiting the Atlantic coast of Europe in the days of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt, or before 1500, we begin to see in its historical perspective the catastrophe that spread the North Sea over inhabited land. The submerged land must have been occupied by human settlements of the Mesolithic and Neolithic ages, whereas Egypt and Phoenicia had already reached the Nidal Bronze. The sea did not slowly encroach, finally to evict the population of the settlements. It entered the land without much warning, and sent its dark billows rolling to find new barriers. The Dogger Bank may have stood out for some time longer, but at last it, too, was taken over by the sea. After 100 generations, man began with great effort to recapture bits of land from the sea, building dams and sluices. At this work he, too, discovered bones of animals in vast entangled masses, of extinct and living forms, generally ascribed to the Ice Age. So, in the Dutch village of Tiglen, in a layer of sand, silt, clay, and peat, ancient elm, ash, and grape were found with extinct fresh water snails, with bones of elephants, mammoths, rhinoceroses, hippopotami, deer, horses, and hyenas. A recent investigation of the English fens by H. Godwin of Cambridge University, with emphasis on the plant life in the post-glacial period, disclosed a general transgression of the sea in the period between the Neolithic and Romano-British times, for which our evidence is best. The fens occupy an area of about 2,000 square miles of Lincolnshire, Cambridge, and Norfolk counties, running east of Norfolk and around the Wash, a gulf of the North Sea. The transgression was broken by two periods of retrogression, one in the Bronze Age, and the other after the Iron Age. Within the Neolithic period, the forest trees all fell to the northwest. These fallen forests were mostly oak. Along with the oak trees were found tools of polished stone. Soon after the hurricane that broke all the oaks came another calamity. The land was now suddenly changed by an extensive invasion by the sea. Within a short time, almost the whole of the fenland area became a brackish lagoon, which later became a fresh water area again. Bronze tools and weapons are found in abundance in the peat. The climate became much worse with the change to the Iron Age at about 500 BC. Other authors ascribe this climasterts to the 8th century. It turned both colder and wetter. The area grew quite uninhabitable, for no traces of pre-Roman Iron Age man have been found there. Then came the last intrusion of the sea. Thus, according to Godwin's analysis, in the period between 2500 before the present era, the plain north of Cambridge was more than once invaded by the North Sea under circumstances that we would interpret as catastrophic. In many places all around England and Wales there are submerged forests which are dated as probably post-glacial or recent. On the other hand, their submersion did not take place within the past 2500 years. Some of the submerged forests have the stumps of their trees rooted on the spot. The list of these forests is long. Submerged forests were observed also in many other places, for instance near Greenland and off the east coast of America. There exist also less reliable reports of walls of sunken cities spied underwater, in the North Sea, off the Atlantic coast, in the Mediterranean, all around Europe, as also in faraway places, like off the Malabar coast of India. Only several thousand years ago, as the raised beaches and sunken forests evidence, the land rose and fell and traded its domain with the sea. Chapter 12. The Ruins of the East. Greta. The Isle of Crete in the blue waters of the Mediterranean, with its precipitous reddish, rocky shores, a silent monument of a world that has passed, was millennia ago a great center of an unusually rich culture. The Minoan scripts are now in the process of being deciphered. The clue was discovered by Michael Ventris, an English architect. The history of ancient Crete, or of the Minoan culture on it, is divided into early, middle, and late Minoan ages, corresponding in time with the old, middle, and new kingdoms in Egypt. The period of the Hyksos in Egypt, between the middle and the new kingdoms, coincides with the last, the third, subdivision of Middle Minoan. All the great periods in Minoan Crete terminated in natural catastrophes. The monumental work of Sir Arthur Evans, the Palace of Minos at Knossos, furnishes abundant evidence of the physical nature of the destructive agent that brought to a close the ages of Minoan culture, one after the other. He speaks of a great catastrophe that took place toward the close of Middle Minoan. A great destruction befell Knossos on the northern shore of the island and Phastos on its southern shore. The isle lay prostrate, overwhelmed by the elements. When, finally, the survivors or their descendants began the work of restoration, their labor was destroyed again in an overthrow. Barely half a century passed between these two catastrophes, one synchronical with the end of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt and the Exodus, the other, one or two generations later. In the later phase of Middle Minoan III, the phenomena conclusively point to a seismic cause for the great overthrow that befell the palace and surrounding town. Throughout the exposed areas of the building, palatial, there is evidence of a great overthrow, burying with it a long succession of deposits. At the end of the next age, late Minoan, the existence of the palace of Knossos was cut short by some extraneous cause, though without any such signs of wholesale ruin as seem to have marked its earlier disaster. However, Marinatos, director of the Greek Archaeological Service, finds, the catastrophe of late Minoan I was fatal and general throughout the whole of Crete. It seems certain that it was the most terrible of all which occurred on the island. The palace at Knossos was destroyed. The same tragedy befell all the so-called mansions. Whole cities, too, were destroyed. Even sacred caves fell in, like the one at Archilochori. Volcanic ash fell on the island and great tidal waves moved toward the island from the north and swept over it. In this catastrophe, Crete received an irreparable blow. The only explanation for the upheaval is one of natural causes. A normal earthquake, however, is wholly insufficient to explain so great a disaster. Then came the destruction of late Minoan II. The sudden catastrophe interrupted all activity, but there are indications also that, though the upheaval was instantaneous, some preparations had been made in an effort to appease the deity for fear of the impending event. Evans writes, "It would seem that preparations were on foot for some anointing ceremony, but the initial task was never destined to reach its fulfillment. Beneath the covering mass of earth and rubble lies the room of the throne with alabaster oil vessels. The sudden breaking off of tasks begun, so conspicuous, surely points to an instantaneous cause. It was another of those dread shocks that had again and again caused a break in the palace history. The earthquake was accompanied by fire. The actual overthrow was greatly aggravated by a widespread conflagration, and the catastrophe attained special disastrous dimensions owing to a furious wind then blowing." Evans assigns the final destruction of the building to the month of March. The disaster, however, did not approach in magnitude that which, for example, had put an end to the building in its Middle Minoan age. After this last catastrophe, the palace at Knossos was never again rebuilt. From the topography of Knossos and its surroundings, it appears that sometime in the past the site of this city was at the head of an inner harbor connected by a channel with a larger open harbor, the entrance to which was between two headlands to the north. Some tremendous catastrophe had raised that section of the island far above the level which it occupied when the city of Knossos, existed. Archaeological work on Crete disclosed vast catastrophes of a physical nature. Since the termination of the cultural ages on Crete coincided with the end of historical periods in Egypt, also brought to their end by natural catastrophes, the extent of these repeated upheavals appears not to have been local. The island of Crete presents excellent ground for examination of the effect of the great catastrophes of the past on an early civilization. The island was not invaded until the arrival of the Dorians, so that the effects of the natural disaster cannot be mistaken for destruction by the hand of man. North of Crete is the volcanic island of Thra, or San Doran. The volcano is not yet extinguished. Its crater was blown off in a formidable explosion in the past and a large caldera was formed. A German-Greek expedition explored the island and published a detailed account of the vehement explosion of the former age. At that tune villages were buried by lava, pumice, and ashes. The excavated cultural remains showed that the great explosion took place between 1800 and 1500 BC, or at the end of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt. The erupted masses were so vast that a German scholar offered in recent years a theory according to which the Egyptian plague of darkness was caused by the eruption of the Thra volcano, 600 miles northwest of the delta. In Egypt, the rock structure of the land experienced at least localized displacements at the end of the Middle Kingdom. K. R. Lepsius observed that the Nilometers at Semneh, dating from the Middle Kingdom, show an average rise in the waters of the Nile at that place, where the river is channeled in rock, 22 feet higher than the highest level of today. We obtained the remarkable result that about 4,000 years ago the Nile used to rise at that point, on an average, 22 feet higher than it does at present. This dropping of the high water level must be ascribed either to a change in the quantity of water in the Nile or to a change in the rock structure of Egypt. However, if the Nile contained so much more water in the past, many residences and temples would have been regularly inundated. I omit the references to cities swallowed by the ground in Egyptian literature, yet the enigmatic and rather regular signs of fire and graves of the Old and Middle Kingdoms, as if from the presence of some volatile substance that penetrated there and became inflamed by the heated ground, is worth mentioning. Troy. At the westernmost end of Asia Minor, a few miles from the Dardanelles, lies the village of Hissarlik. In 1873, Heinrich Schliemann, though not an archaeologist, discovered there the remains of the fortress sung in the Iliad. From his early years as grocer's apprentice, cabin boy on a ship that was wrecked, and bookkeeper in Holland, he had nourished the ambition to find Troy. After many wanderings that took him to Russia and California and the Far East, he settled in Greece, published his prediction of where he would find the city of the Iliad, and was met with jeers. But he soon succeeded in locating the legendary city in the Turkish village of Hissarlik. It had been built 6 or 7 times and as many times destroyed. Schliemann took the rich city on the second lowest level to be the Troy of King Priam, which endured the siege and then succumbed to the Greeks, or Achaeans, warriors under Agamemnon. Later scholars have identified the second city as of a much earlier date, and declared the sixth city from the bottom to be that of Priam and Homer. The second city came to an end at the time the Old Kingdom of Egypt fell. It was destroyed in a violent paroxysm of nature. The archaeological expedition of Cincinnati University under Carl Bledgen has established that an earthquake destroyed the city besieged by Agamemnon. Claudia F. Fur, the excavator of Ras Shamra, Ugarit, in Syria, came to Troy to compare the finds of Bledgen with his own at Ras Shamra and became convinced that the earthquakes and conflagrations he had noted at Ras Shamra were synchronical with the earthquakes and conflagrations of Troy, 600 miles away. He then compared the findings of these two places with signs of earthquakes in numerous other localities of the ancient East. After painstaking work, he came to the conclusion that more than once in historical times the entire region had been shaken by prodigious earthquakes, an area unusually large when compared with the largest areas affected by earthquakes in modern times. He wrote, There is not for us the slightest doubt that the conflagration of Troy II corresponds to the catastrophe that made an end to the habitations of the Old Bronze Age of Alakahuayak, of Alisar, of Tarsus, of Tepehisar, in Asia Minor, and to the catastrophe that burned ancient Ugarit, too, in Syria, the city of Byblos that flourished under the Old Kingdom of Egypt, the contemporaneous cities of Palestine, and that was among the causes which terminated the Old Kingdom of Egypt. The city subsequently constructed, Troy III, was also destroyed in a great and sudden catastrophe. It was a most terrible fire. The renowned archaeologist who worked with Schliemann and survived him by many years, wondered at the violence of the earthquake that overturned a 16 meters, over 50 feet, thick fortress wall of Troy III. Schaeffer found that the same destruction also spread all over Asia Minor and far beyond. Efforts to build a new city, Troy IV, on the ashes of the old were cut short by a new and unexpected conflagration. Once again the ground was covered with a thick bed of ashes and carbonized substance, indicating clearly that the buildings fell during a fire. Troy IV, which followed the fifth city and is usually recognized as the capital of King Priam, was destroyed by an earthquake. A natural force more powerful than the army of Agamemnon brought about its end. It was a violent shaking of the ground, as is also narrated in the Iliad. Walls were moved from their places and fell flat. Schaeffer was once more impressed by the signs of a simultaneous upheaval in all the excavated sites of Asia Minor and the ancient East generally, and dedicated himself to collating the archaeological material of the 3rd and 2nd millennia before the present era with the special purpose of establishing the stratigraphic synchronism based on the sudden and simultaneous interruption of cultural ages in this entire area. The ruins of the East. In the ruins of excavated sites throughout all lands of the ancient East, signs are seen of great destruction that only nature could have inflicted. Claude Schaeffer, in his great recent work, discerned six separate upheavals. All of these catastrophes of earthquake and fire were of such encompassing extent that Asia Minor, Mesopotamia, the Caucasus, the Iranian plateau, Syria, Palestine, Cyprus, and Egypt were simultaneously overwhelmed. And some of these catastrophes were, in addition, of such violence that they closed great ages in the history of ancient civilizations. The enumerated countries were the subject of Schaeffer's detailed inquiry, and recognizing the magnitude of the catastrophes that have no parallels in modern annals or in the concepts of seismology, he became convinced that these countries, the ancient sites of which he studied, represent only a fraction of the area that was gripped by the shocks. The most ancient catastrophe of which Schaeffer discerned vestiges took place between 2400 and 2300 before the present era. It spread ruin from Troy to the valley of the Nile. In it the Old Bronze Age found its end. Laid waste were cities of Anatolia, like Alakahuayak, Tarsus, Alisar, and those of Syria, like Ugarit, Byblos, Shargapazar, Tel Brak, Tepgora, and of Palestine, like Beth, Shan and Dai, and of Persia, and of the Caucasus. Destroyed were the civilizations of Mesopotamia and Cyprus, and the Old Kingdom in Egypt came to an end, a great and splendid age. In all cities walls were thrown from their foundations, and the population markedly decreased. It was an all-encompassing catastrophe. Ethnic migrations were, no doubt, the consequence of the manifestation of nature. The initial and real causes must be looked for in some cataclysm over which man had no control. It was sudden and simultaneous in all places investigated. In a few centuries, migrating and multiplying themselves, the descendants of the survivors of the ruined world built new civilizations, the Middle Bronze Age. In Egypt it was the time of the Middle Kingdom, a short but glorious resurrection of Egyptian civilization and might. Literature reached its perfection, political might its apogee. Then came a shock that in a single day made of this empire a rum, of its art debris, of its population corpses. Again it was the entire ancient East, to its uttermost frontiers, that fell prostrate. Nature, which knows no boundaries, threw all countries into a tremor and covered the land with ashes. This brilliant period of the Middle Bronze Age, during which flourished the art of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt and the exquisite art and industry of the Middle Minoan Age, on Crete, and in the course of which great centers of trade like Ugarit in Syria enjoyed remarkable prosperity, was suddenly terminated. The great activity of international trade, which, during the Middle Bronze Age, had been characteristic of the Eastern Mediterranean and most of the lands of the Fertile Crescent, suddenly stopped in all this vast area. In all the sites in Western Asia examined up to now, a hiatus or a period of extreme poverty broke the stratigraphic and chronological sequence of the strata. In most countries the population suffered great reduction in numbers, in others settled living was replaced by a nomadic existence. In Asia Minor the end of the Middle Bronze came suddenly, and a rupture between that age and the Late Bronze is evident in all sites that were stratigraphically examined. Troy, Boguskoi, Ptasis, Alisar, present the same picture of life vanishing with the end of the Middle Bronze. In Ptasis, between the strata of the brilliantly developed civilization of the Middle Bronze and those of the Late Bronze, a layer of earth 5 feet thick was found without a sign of habitation, a hiatus. At Alakahuayat the transition from Middle Bronze to Late Bronze was marked by upheaval and destruction, and the same may be said of every excavated site in Asia Minor. On the Syrian coast and in the interior we find a stratigraphic and chronological rupture between the strata of the Middle Bronze and Late Bronze at Kalat, Urs, Tel Sirwirian, Byblos, and in the necropoles of Kaifa, Jara, Oray, Majdal Anna. All the necropoles examined in the upper valley of the Ons ceased to be used, and habitation of the great site of Hama was interrupted at the moment the Middle Kingdom in Egypt went down. Also in Ras Shamra there is a marked gap between the horizons of the Middle and the Late Bronze. In Palestine, at Beth Mersem, there was an interruption in the habitation of the site after the fall of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt. In Beth Shan, between the layers of the Middle Bronze and Late Bronze, the excavators came upon an accumulation of debris a meter thick. It indicates that the transition from the Middle Bronze to the Late Bronze was accompanied by an upheaval that broke the chronological and stratigraphical sequence of the site. A similar situation was found at El Hezi Byblos. Earth tremors played havoc also with Jericho, Megiddo's, Beth, Shemesh, Lachish, Ascalon, Tel Danak. The excavators of Jericho found that the city had been repeatedly destroyed. The great wall surrounding it fell in an earthquake shortly after the end of the Middle Kingdom. Concussions devastated the entire land of the double stream. The Russian-Persian borderland also shows that there was no continuity between the Middle Bronze and Late Bronze. In the Caucasus not an archaeological vestige was found all the centuries between these two ages. A sea tide broke onto the land, as on the coast of Ras Shamra, bringing further destruction in its wake. It appears also that the end of the Middle Kingdom was marked by volcanic eruptions and lava flows. On the Sinai Peninsula, at an early and undisclosed date, a flow of basaltic lava from the fissured ground, the Sinai Massif is not a volcano, burned down forests, leaving a desert behind. In Palestine lava erupted, filling the Jezreel Valley. Early in this century a Phoenician vase was found embedded in lava. Geologists have asserted that volcanic activity in Palestine ceased in prehistoric times. The assertion of the geologists thus becomes very questionable, wrote an author at that time. The vase found in lava proves volcanic activity there in historical times. The verdict of the archaeologists is that the vase dates from the 15th century before the present era, and thus the eruption must have taken place in the middle of the second millennium. Egypt, according to Schaeffer, was conquered by the Hyksos, coming from the east, when it fell in a catastrophe caused by natural elements. In other countries, too, not conquerors or migrating hordes but earthquakes and fire were the agents of destruction. Our inquiry has demonstrated that these repeated crises which opened and closed the principal periods of the third and second millennia were caused not by the action of man. Far from it, because compared with the vastness of these all, embracing crises and their profound effects, the exploits of conquerors would appear only insignificant. Schaefer finds indications that the climate changed abruptly in the wake of the catastrophes. The phenomenon was ubiquitous at the same time in the Caucasus and in certain areas of prehistoric Europe. Changes of climate have caused, as it appears, transformations in the occupation and economy of the countries. The catastrophe that served as the starting point for two of my works, Worlds in Collision and Ages in Chaos, left archaeological imprints on Biblical and Homeric lands, from the Dardanelles to the Caucasian Barrier, the Persian Highland, and the cataracts of the Nile. The most severe and devastating upheaval took place exactly at the end of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt, as claimed in these two books. What was the nature of the perturbations that caused the end of the Old Bronze Age and then of the Middle Bronze Age, and changed the entire aspect of the known world from Europe to Asia and Africa? Fire raged, lava flowed, tremors traveled across whole continents, and climate went through revolutions. Schaefer wondered at the vast extent of the earthquakes, unknown in modern annals. He asked, could it be that in earlier times earthquakes were of very much greater force and wider spread than they are now because geological strata, originally out of equilibrium, were settling with the passing of time? This explanation of the readjustment of geological strata as time goes on is not valid if we keep in mind that geology ascribes to this planet 3 billion years of existence, and 3,000 years is just 1/1,000,000th of this period. The Earth would have adjusted its strata long before, in the geological ages. Apparently the Earth was thrown out of equilibrium only a few thousand years ago, which also explains the change in climate simultaneous with the upheaval. Schaefer's investigation reaches Persia in the east. Inquiring in lands beyond Persia, we find that a rich Indus Valley civilization, with many fortified cities, came to a sudden end in the 15th century before the present era, shortly before the arrival of the Aryans. The cause of this sudden termination, conveniently equated with the 15th century BC, is not known, but the facts brought forth by R. E. Mortimer Wheeler strongly suggest to various scholars that a natural catastrophe engulfed the area in those early Vedic times. In its wake the Aryans came into the country, a Vedic Dark Age ensued, and on the ashes of the effaced world Aryans, step by step, built a new civilization. Times and dates. The evidence of this and preceding chapters should not be interpreted as proving that there were global catastrophes only in the first and second millennia before the present era, but as substantiating the claim that in those times, too, there were global disturbances. These were actually the last in a line that goes back to much earlier times. According to the narrative of Worlds in Collision, two series of world catastrophes took place in recent times. One that occurred 34 to 35 centuries ago, in the middle of the second millennium before the present era, the other in the 8th and the beginning of the 7th century before the present era, 26 centuries ago. The first of these catastrophes occurred at the end of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt and actually caused its termination. In A Dodge in Chaos, further details were given of the closing hours of the Middle Kingdom, which went down under the blows of nature. The second series of catastrophes occurred in the period that started in 776 and lasted until 687, when, in the final act of a protracted drama, Sennacherib met his downfall. In an independent investigation, Claude Schaefer came to the conclusion that at the end of the Middle Kingdom an enormous cataclysm took place that ruined Egypt and devastated by earthquake and holocaust every populated place in Palestine, Syria, Cyprus, Mesopotamia, Asia Minor, the Caucasus, and Persia. Previously Sir Arthur Evans had shown that, at the downfall of the Middle Kingdom in Egypt, Crete was overwhelmed by a natural upheaval. Also the volcano of Thra erupted prodigious quantities of lava, and the Indus Valley civilization came abruptly to an end. More recent catastrophes embracing the entire Near and Middle East are also described by Schaefer as having taken place a few centuries later. Evans had found that the cities of Crete were again destroyed in very severe earthquakes that terminated the consecutive Minoan ages on Crete. Schaefer's findings, based on excavations in scores, if not hundreds, of places all around the ancient East, where populations were decimated or annihilated. The earth shook, the sea erupted, and the climate changed, are by themselves sufficient support for the claims made in Worlds in Collision as to the times and the vastness of the catastrophes. But we have much more evidence, and no wonder, the catastrophes being ubiquitous, their effects must be found everywhere.